Welcome back. It's Karen Conti. With us in studio is Russell Hartigan, the president of the Illinois State Bar Association. Russell's practiced law for over 43 years. He's handled numerous memorable cases. He served as a judge for about 6 years, and now, along with being president of the Bar Association, he's a mediator and an arbitrator. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Karen. Good to see you.
We have known each other for 30 years, I think, give or take.
Absolutely.
I met you when I was three, and so you can all do the math out there. Russ, you know, you're president of the Bar Association, which is a great honor, and obviously lawyers think a lot about you. But I want to talk briefly about the reputation of lawyers. And I see the billboards, and I see the ads, and I see all of these things. And I wonder, do you think that those kinds of ads and that kind of the advertising campaigns, are they good for our profession?
Well, it is getting out of hand a little bit. I agree. I mean, going years back, you couldn't do some of the things that you're seeing now. We're going to probably ask direction from the Illinois Supreme Court, who essentially regulates lawyers. One of our committees is the Future Committee. We're looking at the Avvo, we're looking at the LegalZoom, we're looking at all these companies that are coming forward that to help market lawyers. So, yeah, yes, there is solicitation, it seems, out there.
And, yeah.
There's a lot of marketing, and you pay more to move up.
The ranks, yes.
The ranks, yes.
Well, and I tell people all the time, as I'm sure you do, how do I know what's a good lawyer? And it's not the person whose name is on the bench. It's not necessarily the person whose name comes up first, because those people might be clever marketers, but they may not be good lawyers. In fact, the good lawyers may not even be doing any of that stuff.
Absolutely. One thing you can do is go to the Attorney Registration and Discipline Committee. Just make sure that the lawyer is a lawyer.
That's true.
There's a recent book out about three law graduates. Actually, they weren't graduates, but they decided to leave law school, a Grisham novel, and they started practicing, and nobody challenged them. The judge didn't challenge them, the lawyers, state's attorneys, public defenders. So that, number one. Number two, a lot of people, if they're really sole practitioners, small firms, they like to be rated on Avvo. And so that's the new thing. And the other thing is just to check with the bar associations. And, you know, word of mouth is still out there.
Exactly. That's what I say. Yeah. I mean, if you have a good accountant or a good business manager or your financial planner, those are the people to go to, because they get in that position to make referrals. And even if you ask a neighbor, and maybe you've got a neighbor who might know something, but, again, their experience with one lawyer may not be the same in another practice area.
Yeah, the hedge fund people are buying into companies for marketing of attorneys, and it's becoming a big business. And we hope that in certain respects there's some brakes put on it, and ultimately the Supreme Court will take a look at that.
Yeah. Now, this case coming out of California was very interesting. There was a judge who gave a lenient sentence to a kid named Brock Turner, who raped a girl. He was from Stanford. He was a swimmer. The woman made national news when she gave a speech to the court about what she went through and the trauma that she sustained. And as a result, there was an uproar. I think he gave a 6-month term sentence, but it was legal. It was within his realm to do that. It was certainly legal, and no one said that it wasn't. It was just that many people thought that he got off way too light, and this was not the only such case where he sentenced someone lightly for a sexual assault. Would we ever see anything like that in Illinois?
Well, we have judges coming up for what we call retention, and that's a question of, should the judge be retained? Yes or no. And generally speaking, most judges survive that retention issue. You'll be seeing on the ballot shortly, because the ISBA, Illinois State Bar, is going through judicial evaluations right now for retention judges.
So they make recommendations so that when you go to the ballot, you at least will have some semblance of, hey, are these people good or are these people not doing their job?
Right. I mean, on one hand, you have to respect the judge's independence, his discretion. On the other hand, if you're not comfortable with that ruling, you can always go to the ballot box and try to remove them.
That's right. And again, you know, I think I agree with you that, you know, we have to give the judiciary some leeway, because not the public doesn't always know what the rules are, and the public doesn't always understand exactly what a judge might be doing and for the reasons. And so normally I would say this is not a good thing, because you don't want to make the judge a political figure that if you don't sentence someone or you don't convict somebody, you're going to lose your job. That's probably not a good idea. But I think in this case, from what I glean, that this judge really has taken these cases very lightly. And the public spoke. They organized. They raised over $1 million, and they recalled him. It was kind of an interesting phenomenon. And maybe it's a heads up for judges to know that they are accountable. So.
I do recall back in the 70s or 80s, a judge who had a ruling, it was either favorable or unfavorable against a police officer, and he was not retained because of that ruling.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do remember that exactly. And it was a racial case, and it was very, very, very much a heater case, and the judge got blamed for what happened. Yeah. So just before we take a break, Russ, I want to ask you a question. I mean, people are coming out of law school, kids are coming out of law school with huge amounts of debt, and the jobs are not as good as they used to be. What would you say to people who want to go to law school, or parents who have children who are aspiring to be lawyers? Is it still a good thing to be a lawyer?
You know, I'm a big cheerleader. I have a course called Law Practice Management at Kent Law School and John Marshall, and we tell them there's always new areas of the law that are opening up. At the ISBA, we have a new, what they call, Privacy Section Council. You couldn't believe how many lawyers wanted to get on that. It's a whole new area of the law. So I always tell them new things are opening up, and, you know, be optimistic. Even my son, who's a lawyer, he said, oh, there's too many lawyers out there. You know, we got too many law schools in Illinois. I said, well, you know, do the best you can. Get out there. Do what I did. My father wasn't a lawyer. You just got to, you know, work at it and see what particular field you're interested in and go into that.
There's always room for another good lawyer, right?
Absolutely. And certain areas of Illinois need lawyers. And I talk to other people in different states, and they say there are certain states that, like Idaho, they need lawyers.
Yeah.
So
it's a matter of wanting to go to Idaho, I suppose. Russell Hartigan, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on being the president of the Illinois State Bar. And have a good rest of your summer.
I have a face for radio. You don't.
Thank you, Russ. I appreciate it.